Illinois State Representative David Severance on the line. David, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I got a cold, but I got my cough drops with me. I got my Kleenexes, and I'm rolling down the road.
And by the way, David is one of those cough hygiene guys. Yesterday we were on a tour, which we're going to be telling you more about here coming up, and he elbow bumped everybody. So, which I'm not so good at sometimes. I can tell from the background you're on your way to Springfield.
Yes, sir. I'm on 57 between Benton and Mount Vernon, and as we go on the next 15 minutes or so, I'll give you an update if anything changes.
Right, because north of Mount Vernon, you will see things change, according to the Illinois State Police at 706 in their report on I-57. It's interesting because the House was supposed to be in session, I think, 2 weeks ago today, and they canceled it. Or not canceled it, they moved it back.
That's correct. We were supposed to be in Tuesday and Wednesday of that week, and it was canceled, moved back, whatever, however you want to say it. But we're in session at noon today, and we're scheduled to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But you never know what the speaker may call or cancel off.
What's on the agenda for the next 3 days?
We've got some stuff. Here's what's interesting. Some of the things that are going to be called the next 2 or 3 days are think kind of gotcha things, and then sometimes what they'll do is maybe put them on the schedule and then back off, so just to kind of see where people are, see what's going on. And so I was glad that we got that Senate Bill 444 passed on the school education funding right before we got out last week. So we'll see what happens this week, Tom. And everybody is kind of maneuvering their places in the race. And then being a primary coming up, of course, this is my second year, which kind of sounds funny, but I'm learning every day as far as what's going to go on and what isn't going to go on. And they tell me there won't be a lot of bills run before the primary that could hurt people in that race, and they'll hold off, or they may run a vote just to kind of get you in that primary. So definitely politics going on in Springfield.
Well, it's interesting because, when you look at the House Bill 4469, this would allow inmates to vote.
Right.
I mean, there are some interesting things out here on the legislation on the tablet here, and I'm kind of curious which one comes up, because when I saw this, I'm like, well, this is not the only states that are trying to do it, but opening a polling place inside the Cook County Jail?
Yeah, I think Juliana Stratton, I think that's her bill that she's running, and so it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out and who postures themselves where. And like I said, I'm learning that some of these things are, for primary gotcha votes or primary votes, and so we'll see where that goes, Tom.
All right, and then, of course, there's somewhere in the building, somebody's working on a budget.
That's supposed to be what's going on, and, of course, we're looking forward to the governor presenting that that budget speech with a balanced budget, and of course, I heard you earlier talking to Representative Finney as far as the word on the floor when the governor said, I'm going to present a balanced budget, with tongue-in-cheek people cheering and laughing. And, this is serious stuff. And it's not about Republicans and Democrats. And you know what? Everybody talks about this stuff. But the problem is, when we get into that room on the floor, it all changes. The talk, we're going to do something, all goes away, and then people go hardline, and they forget about all of us that are living on a daily basis.
And here's the thing, David. I watched this, and I was talking to one of our listeners on the phone just about 15 minutes ago about some of this as well. What I call this, what you just described, political theater, right? Kind of like the Japanese theater with the white face,
Yes, sir.
Where they yell, scream, and over-exaggerate, and then behind stage it's a different thing. And I've always kind of seen that Illinois, we do a lot of theater and very little work.
It's interesting. People even in committee, when the TV cameras are rolling, boy, they're pushing their button and they're making a big long speech, and all they're doing is they're getting sound bites and video bites for campaign ads. And I thought, boy, this is it's a dirty shame. We're supposed to be working for the people.
Yeah, at Kabuki Theater. Kabuki political theater. As long as look here what I've got, right? Yesterday, yeah. I was lucky enough to be invited by the state representative, David Severin, to the marijuana grow facility in Jackson County. I can't tell you much, first off, that I appreciate you allowing me to tag along with you and the rest of the legislators. But that was one of the more educational things that I have done in a while when it comes to learning. I know I was a pest to some of the people there, but I learned a lot.
You know, when we put that thing together, I felt it was so important to get educated on items. You know, it's one thing to read about something, hear about something. It's another thing to get right in the middle of it to find out what's going on. And then so when we start putting this together, I thought, you know, need to invite Tom Miller to this, because the voice that you have and the listeners that you have, and as I was telling someone yesterday in my office, I said, you know, Miller in the Morning, if you haven't listened, it's not just local. I said, you get online on your phone or on your iPad or whatever, your internet. I said, he's got listeners literally all over the United States. And so I felt it was really important, Tom, to get you there to be involved with what's going on, and so you can convey those things to your listeners.
Well, you know, and my takeaway, and thank you again, David, I hope I didn't embarrass you, because like I said, I can be a real pest when I'm curious about something, because I just keep going along. You know, yesterday, the employees, right, members of the faculty and students at SIU, some of the staff from all across Southern Illinois. Nobody was imported to come in and do this. They went out and found the local people to do it. It illustrates clearly a substantial financial investment, and the care and responsibility and stewardship. These guys go, they know that they're being watched. They act accordingly. They made sure everything is painting within the lines. And, you know, it was interesting, because I was driving home after I left. I had to remind myself that, you know, there's a lifespan to this medical marijuana. It is literally a test. It has a lifespan.
That's correct. It's 2020, and you know, that's another one of the things that if this is going to be a successful test, that people need to be informed and educated on what this opportunity is and the process. And I was so impressed yesterday, like you say, with all the staff and, you know, not only the staff that are working there, but even the owners shared with us when they built that facility, it was all with local contractors and workers. And so this is Southern Illinois people investing in Southern Illinois. And it was a good day for legislators, good day for yourself. And I think that the people that run that facility were encouraged to know that we as legislators want to be informed and want to know what's going on.
Well, I tell you what, there was no doubt about the accountability process. There was, you know, we looked at that very closely in the packaging, and then we were in the labs, fortunately, yesterday as well. And you realize, you know, these guys take this medicine aspect. I mean, when it comes to clean and accountability and where it goes, how it's tested prior to going to the market, make sure there's nothing harmful inside this from pesticides. And you heard me ask this several times yesterday, because prior to going, I'd been doing a lot of reading so I would be prepared. And at other locations, these types of grow facilities are pretty heavily criticized for their lack of restraint when it comes to the environment, using a lot of water, nutrients that are out in the system, you know, that flush out of the building, the use of a lot of electricity for grow lamps, things along that line. And every time, and including some of the different chemicals that are used to produce the medicine itself, the oils and the like, they're recovering those. They're keeping their water consumption down. They're highly conscientious about their electricity. I mean, they literally are trying to not do the things that many other locations are taking a lot of heat for.
That's correct. And you know what? As Tom and Tim were telling us yesterday, when we were talking about those kinds of things, they get those reports on a daily and weekly and monthly basis as far as how much energy they're conserving, or they're actually using, and they're trying to conserve literally on a monthly basis. Okay, what did we do last month? Let's see if we can do even better this month. And I realize energy costs are going to be different depending upon the weather, but as far as the water usage or the lack thereof, or I should say less water usage, that is their goal, is to be as conservative and responsible as they possibly can with the energy and water consumption. And I was really impressed, as I think you were also, Tom, that these people are in it for the right reasons. I mean, they're businessmen. They're in it for a profit, but they're also in it to help people. And the people that were working there, You could tell it wasn't just a job, that they really cared. The people in the lab, I was so impressed with the ladies that were working in there on the new strains of things they're working on and the ideas that they have. And they, you could tell they really care about what they're doing.
The thing is, and I remember this vividly because Jeff Doherty, with me, he was doing the Economic Council, right, and helped with this building construction and getting that all started.
Yes.
And because I think there's a matter of fact, I think they even kick back a percentage on a monthly basis with the Economic Committee, and there's a deal there because of their assistance. And what I find interesting is I think there was around 34 or 35 employees, but they said that that building was built for 100 employees in a great deal larger capacity, and we're not there yet. We talked about the revenues yesterday while we were there, and they're not hitting the estimates. And that seems to be the bottleneck. It seems to be, you know, the amount of customers, patients, and that, you know, the approval, medical approval to get the legal approval you need to use medical marijuana seems to be the bottleneck outside looking in. I mean, that's where I'm at. People want to. As I told you yesterday, prior to my tour with that, I met with a mother who has a young son who is struggling with seizures, and she's used all the medical, right, pills and injections, and it's still not working, and hoping that this will work, and still can't get approval for her son, and how frustrated that is for her. We realize there's more customers out there, but maybe that bar is too high for some people to be able to get over, to get access to that medicine, and I find that troubling.
Well, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to go yesterday, and not only just get a physical tour, you know, and a vision of what's going on in there, but for us to get together, Representative Bryant, Representative Hallbrook, Representative Butler, and myself were there, and for us to, you know, as we're looking and talking and questioning different things, get our heads together, for us to even legislatively, you know, talk about these things and see what can be done, because it sure looks like it's helping people, but there's a taboo of, marijuana and those kinds of things, and I realize, you know, that this is something that needs to be done very seriously as far as the testing of it and the accountability and all those things, but from what we've seen, it's helping people, and that's what we should be doing as representatives of our people in the state of Illinois, is helping people. So if this is an opportunity to help people with their physical conditions, that's what we sure want to do.
It's looked like my takeaway on the issue there, because they're about 30% production, I think, across the state of Illinois. Like I said, and the customers are a lot smaller number than they anticipated. There were two things that were my takeaway: getting doctors who will write the prescription or certification. You have this disorder. It is one of 41 that is acceptable for medical marijuana. Now you can get a card. All right, there's that issue, and the other is fear of the federal government and the fact that marijuana is a Schedule I drug. It doesn't belong in the Schedule I category. Anybody who's been on the planet for about 20, 30 years knows this, but still it remains. And then the concern about banking and the money from marijuana sales when it's a Schedule I illegal drug in the eyes of the federal government. Those are my two takeaways for obstruction yesterday.
I agree with you. And the other thing that was I'm so glad to hear that actually Congressman Bost, he was going to be there with us yesterday, but he wasn't able to. But he's going to come and take a tour like we did yesterday. Because there's some national things, even what we want to do statewide, there's some national things that would need to be changed. That Schedule I thing is definitely a concern. And, you know, the time frame, the 90 days when you apply for a card, whatever, that's doable. But these other things seem to prohibit people from even getting to that point. And, you know, something else I wanted to throw in was that after I left yesterday, he's like, okay, I've seen the tour now of this place. I want to go to the Harbory and talk to them. So I stopped by, met the gentleman that's actually the director there, and I requested that the legislators, that we get a tour and to be able to talk with him so we can find out that aspect of it also. I want to get the whole picture, Tom. And I want to make sure that, you know, we're not going down a road that we don't, you know, we think we're going one way and we're going a different. And so I want to get all the information and give people the opportunity to do what's best for their family, for their loved one, for themselves. It was a great tour, and it was a great conversation I had yesterday with the gentleman at the Harbory, and he was excited that I came in and was asking questions. How do you learn, Tom? By doing what you did yesterday, asking questions. So that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it is an interesting process. There was one thing that I did that stuck out yesterday. It was one of the legislators going, I have two. The only legislator has two grow locations in his district. And he says, in one, it's in a town of, I think, 2,800 people. And this location has 40 jobs. And he says, 40 jobs for a town of 2,800 is a big deal. And yes, he's right. There's a job aspect here. And all that stuff, we were looking at the people who were using the equipment. They were talking about how much equipment costs, that specialized equipment, you know, and some places, you know, are unique things. There's a whole business around this, the lights, the nutrients, the grow pots, the tables, you can literally start clicking off all the other industries that support, just like coal mine. Right? I mean, there's the coal mine, right. And then there's businesses that support the coal mine. So, hey, David, once again, I can't tell you much. I appreciate you putting yourself out to make sure I got included yesterday. I was a little in over my head, I think, but I can keep up.
You did just fine, Tom. And hey, weather report, I just got on 64 off of 57, and the road's still good and dry, and so we're rolling along, and hopefully we won't hit any bad weather going to Springfield. We're in session at 12 today, but again, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning and to your listeners to be open-minded about this. That's what we're trying to do, is get information and to share that information with people so that if it's something that people think is a viable opportunity for themselves, that they would look into that. I think that's where we need to be going.